Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio. UEEI.
What is it like playing with Kyrie?
You know, he's a great guy, great leader. You just have to adjust to his style. Whatever Kyrie wants done, that's what he's going to show it. That's what he wants done. And you have to adjust to his style of play.
I'm not going to be shocked if Kyrie Irving's back with Boston next year.
Well, I would be
this
shocked.
This is what happened.
Well,
this
I would
is
be
the
shocked.
League.
Pick number 14 will be made by the Boston Celtics. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks.
I'm compelled to say, oh my goodness.
Damn! Damn it! Damn it! Oh, oh, oh! Now New Orleans gets the first damn pick, and then they got both guys! What did the Knicks have?
You snowflake!
Bear Force One is touched down in North Carolina. Cleared back out again, 2 seconds and one, and the Bruins have taken a 3-0 lead in the series, winning the game by a score of 2-1.
Yes, damn it, we are going to talk about the Bruins.
We'll talk Celtics and emojis.
I got places to go. I got a tee time. Let's go.
Let's get it going. This is Late Night, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, great stuff there from Joe putting that together. Great job out of you. By the way, that whole thing with Stephen A. Smith today, I didn't realize like he was that big of a Knicks fan. I didn't know that. Stephen A. Smith, apparently a very passionate Knicks fan.
And a Cowboys guy.
I thought he was a Steelers guy.
It's whatever he picks out of the hat.
Yeah, but nonetheless, no, I thought he hates the Cowboys. Doesn't he despise the Cowboys? But I didn't.
Well, you can wear a cowboy hat on national television.
Right. I think that was to mock the Cowboys fans. But I did not know that he was that big of a Knicks fan until today, where he was just really, really upset about the fact that the Knicks didn't get the number one pick, which was going to be Zion Williamson. And he's really upset about that. But nonetheless, Stephen A. Smith really upset. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. You look at the Red Sox now, they go to 23-20 on the season. At this point, are you okay with where the Red Sox are at, or are you concerned? 617-779-7937. Tonight, it was more concerning stuff to me than anything else. I did not take a lot of positives out of the game this evening. The two positives I took out of this game, well, really three. So the first positive I take out of this thing is Marcus Walden, who has been great this season. He goes 2 1/3, perfect innings. He comes in on the season now, a 1.61 ERA. The guy's been completely dominant. The other positive I take out of this is the bottom portion of the lineup, or at least the latter portion of the lineup, when you're talking about Michael Chavis coming through with a walk-off hit today, and after yesterday hitting that home run. The guy goes through a little cold spell, and look what happens to him. He hits a 450-foot bomb yesterday, and then today he comes up in a critical situation, and he has a nice RBI single to walk things off to make sure the Red Sox win this game. And we've seen what Devers has done from that lower part of the order, the five spot, wherever Devers is, wherever they decide to put him in the five spot. But going from five on, you actually now have legitimate production. And another guy you look at right now is Christian Vasquez, who has clearly stepped up over the past couple of weeks. Vasquez is somebody that you looked at last year as a dead out, and this year he has five home runs. You're looking at a guy hitting in the lower portion of your order, five home runs, 832 OPS. His OPS is up almost 300 points from it was a season ago. And you look at Vasquez, if you can just get some pop out of that catcher position based on what he gives you defensively, and we saw him throw out Ian Desmond in the sixth inning tonight, that's absolutely phenomenal from Christian Vasquez. And considering the fact that you got to know going into most games, you have a dead out with Jackie Bradley Jr., which, oh, by the way, he continues to struggle. How about the strikeout he had late in the game? He has some of the worst at-bats I think I have ever seen. Some of the worst at-bats I've ever seen. Like, I'm talking about swings that are nowhere near the ball. Nowhere near the ball. It's almost like he doesn't know where the ball is going to be, or he's just completely confused by the pitch. I don't know. Either one is not good. But nonetheless, he looks horrible at the plate sometimes. Isn't it amazing to think back? And I understand it was only, what, two hits? But isn't it amazing to think back? When we think back about that World Series run for the Red Sox, the MVP of the American League Championship Series was Jackie Bradley Jr., who is hitting, what, 149 at this particular point in the season. The other guy that was the World Series MVP is Steve Pierce. He's hitting like 111 right now. And you're going to remember, like when you go 5-10 years from now, you're going to remember that playoff run and say, oh yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr., American League Championship Series MVP. Steve Pierce, MVP of the World Series, baby. Although I disagree with that decision to begin with. I thought it should have been David Price. But nonetheless, I don't want to go on a digression about the World Series MVP. But it's amazing to think that those guys, you had a World Series MVP and an ALCS MVP that are basically irrelevant players on your team right now. Well, Jackie is relevant because most of the time he's actually in the lineup. He's just an absolute joke at the plate right now. I mean, it really is inexcusable. How do you continue to get worse? I feel like Jackie Bradley Jr. every season, you know how most guys get better? They progress as players. Like, we've seen it with Mookie Betts to the point last year he was the MVP. Like, he got better each and every year, right? That's kind of what happens with players. Andrew Benintendi gets better. Bogarts gets better. Jackie Bradley Jr. gets worse. He actually gets worse year by year by year.
I would love to see the opponent's scouting report on Jackie Bradley Jr.
Just throw it over
like the
plate and he'll miss. That's all it's going to be. Yeah, or throw it out of the zone and he'll swing. If you throw a curveball, if you throw a breaking ball anywhere near the lower portion of the zone and it goes out of the zone, he will swing. And what happens when he swings is his front leg, the knee bends. Every time he sees a breaking ball, his knee bends. The guy has no chance at the plate whatsoever. But other than him, the bottom portion of the order, unless Sandy Leon's in it, and I get he had a home run like 3 or 4 games ago now, hit that 3-run home run over the monster. But nonetheless, when he's not in the lineup, you have production up and down, with the exception of Jackie Bradley Jr. And that's a credit to Christian Vasquez, because we knew what he was going to be defensively, but for him to make himself into a competent offensive player, and right now, more than a competent offensive player, you give him a ton of credit. Chavis, obviously, that was a huge injection of talent with this team, where now you actually have a second baseman who can produce offensively. Because whatever you want to say about Brock Holt, who can play a million positions, and Eduardo Nunez, first of all, Nunez is horrific in the field. The guy's a terrible fielder. I get he had some big plays for you last year in the postseason. And when you look at it from Brock Holt's perspective, nobody's scared of him coming up to the plate. So for the first time in ages, you actually have somebody at the second base position that actually has legitimate power. And I get he's not the best defensive player right now, but he didn't have a lot of time to train as a second baseman. And oh, by the way, he did make a pretty nice play tonight. You give him credit, he made a nice play tonight. So now you have production at that second base position. You know what you have at third base endeavors. Bogarts is really, really good as an offensive shortstop, and we know what he can do defensively. So up and down this lineup, that's the real positive you take from this team right now, is the lineup is just on fire right now. It doesn't matter who it is. It seems like this lineup up and down has been very productive all season long. The one concern I would have, not a concern, but just an interesting thing I was looking at today, and this really shocked me to find this out. Not to find this out, but to think about this. You know Mookie Betts against lefties entering today? 163 average, 234 on base percentage, a 420 OPS. Last year, he had an OPS over 1,200 against lefties. He hit 368. So for whatever reason, I don't understand it. Mookie Betts is having a pretty good season. I'm not saying that Mookie Betts is an issue whatsoever. It's just weird that Mookie Betts, for whatever reason so far this year, cannot hit left-handed pitching. Okay, so the positives, though, you get to the fact that you have Marcus Walden, who came out of nowhere. He's been really, really good out of the bullpen. You know what you have with Barnes, despite the fact that he gives up the hit tonight. And this lineup up and down is better than you thought it would be. Did anybody think you were going to get this type of production out of Chavis? Now, we were wondering when he was going to be up, but Chavis, in terms of the production, nobody could have predicted this. The guy already has 7 home runs. He has a walk-off hit. He has a 450-foot bomb the other night. What's he have? The 3 deepest home runs so far this season for the Red Sox? That's how much power this guy has right now. So you know where your lineup's at. But then you look at the negatives with this team right now, and it kind of overshadows all those positives because they are real concerns going forward. So first of all, you look at the bullpen. Outside of Marcus Walden and outside of Matt Barnes, who can you depend on right now? That's a serious question for this team. I get that Heath Embry had a scoreless inning tonight. I get that Workman came in and had a strikeout, but my concern with Workman, the walks. Those numbers at the beginning of the season, they're not real, okay? He got lucky for a while there, and you can't continue to walk the ballpark and have that level of success. You're going to struggle if you're Brandon Workman going forward with the amount of batters you put on. And now, as Lou Maloney said on the broadcast today, and Alex Cora mentioned it on OMF earlier today, That's in the scouting report. The curveball's coming. You saw last night what happened is Charlie Blackman sat on that curveball. The same thing happened to Matt Barnes today where they sat on his curveball. So I'm not depending on Workman right now. Ryan Brazier has been absolutely atrocious against lefties. He was supposed to be a high leverage guy for this bullpen. That's what you were expecting to get out of Ryan Brazier, him to be one of your high leverage guys. And now there's no way you can depend on him putting him in high leverage situations. He has not pitched well at all this season. You think about it from the perspective of last night, gives up the hit to Mark Reynolds. So you can't depend on Ryan Brazier in high leverage situations. And that was supposed to be Brazier and Barnes's role. They were going to be the high leverage guys. And right now, Brazier's not doing that. The only other consistent reliever outside of Matt Barnes, of course, is who we saw tonight in Walden, who has been outstanding. And then I look at the starting rotation. Okay, so you know what you have with David Price, and David Price is going to come back from the injury. He's going to come back for the Blue Jays series. There was hope that maybe he could come back earlier than that. He will miss the Astros series. Of course, he missed the Rockies series. So he should come back for that Blue Jays series. I just hope they make sure that David Price is completely healthy. I completely agree with Alex Cora. Make sure that he's 100% before he comes back, because obviously we saw what that guy means to this team in October. You have to make sure that that guy is healthy. Chris Sale is now Chris Sale that we expected at the beginning of the season. 17 strikeouts last night. It was incredible. The team failed him by not picking up that win. The one thing I will say about Chris Sale going forward is this, though. Well, two things. The first one is, does it make up for the six shaky starts at the beginning of the season? Does Chris Sale's last couple of starts make up for the shaky starts at the beginning of the season? Because you look at it, five out of his first six starts, he was atrocious. One, he only let up one earned run. The team lost. But he pitched six games to begin the season, and the team did not win one of them. Okay, so Chris Sale, somebody that is consistently good at the beginning of the season, has shown us the past couple of games that he past 3 years, he has broken down in September going back to his final year in Chicago. So does Chris Sale not performing at the beginning of the season, is that still a concern for you? Because it's not a concern for me right now because Sale's back on track. But what I would say is it's not forgivable right now that he did not pitch well at all to begin the season. I get it. The first couple of starts you put on the plan that they had in the offseason entering the year where they didn't dial up the pitcher's workload until they got into the season, right? And we saw it happen with Price and Rodriguez and Porcello. All these guys struggled. But after that, it took Sale a little too long to get going for my liking, and you still don't know what you're going to get out of Chris Sale when it comes to September, because the past three seasons, he's had an ERA that is closer to four than it is three when you get into September. And last year, we know that he was really not a contributor to that postseason team outside of the start against the Yankees, and I get he struck out the side against the Dodgers in the World Series, but he couldn't go out there. David Price had to go out on short rest. So Sale, you still have the question marks with what comes with September. Eduardo Rodriguez tonight, okay? You get a five-run lead, and your manager shows faith in you. He sends you back out into the seventh inning with the 8-9-1 hitter coming up, and you're in a situation where they're all lefties. You should be able to plow through that, and Eduardo Rodriguez fails his manager. So that's a negative. And then you also look at the fact that Nathan Eovaldi is coming off the surgery, and you're going to get him back in a little while here. But Nathan Eovaldi, before the surgery, had an ERA at 6. And he's on the first year of a four-year deal where he's getting $17 million per season. So is that contract actually going to pan out for Nathan Eovaldi? Because as a starter throughout his career, he's had an ERA over 4. He had one postseason last year with a 1.61 ERA, 22 and a third innings, and that's when you decided to give him the contract based on last year's postseason. Now, the one thing I will say about Nathan Eovaldi is this. If Nathan Eovaldi does not pan out as a starter, which is very likely, or it is plausible, I shouldn't say very likely, it is plausible that Nathan Eovaldi does not pan out as a starter with this team going forward. The one thing you do know about Nathan Eovaldi is clearly he has the stuff to play in the bullpen. We saw that last year of the postseason. He has the stuff where he could be a long guy, he could be a closer, and I get $17 million. That's what you want to be giving to starters. But at least with Nathan Eovaldi, you know you have that option where you can put him into the bullpen because he can throw 100 miles an hour, and he has absolutely ruthless stuff where we saw in the postseason, he became the second most important pitcher for this team outside of David Price. So at least there is that with Nathan Eovaldi. So those are some of the negatives. Do you trust this entire rotation? What's going on with the bullpen right now? The one thing you have for sure is your lineup. But this team right now, it's good they got the World Series last year, because now you're looking at it, what if you didn't? What if you didn't win that World Series last year? Then you'd be in real trouble going forward, because we all know JD Martinez, free agent after this season, which, by the way, JD's red hot right now, hit another home run tonight. And by the way, what did he have two the other day? He's now up to nine on the season. He is red hot. That was something we said at the beginning of the season. When will JD's power numbers come up? Not that we were concerned, but he's there right now. But he's a free agent after the season if he wants to be. Mookie Betts is a free agent in 2 years. So this team is all in right now. That's why the pressure is on this team. They are all in. You got to get these World Series right now while you can, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future with a lot of these guys. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Mark, who is in Connecticut tonight. What's up, Mark?
Take a call.
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you doing this evening?
Good, good. What do you got?
So, you know, we're just on our way home from the game tonight after seeing Chavis walk off hit. And sure. I'm as happy as any Red Sox fan seeing Chavis do well. But let's keep in perspective the scope of work with Chavis. And then I was sitting here tonight, and then I heard you use the word useless when it came to Pedroia, and I can't just sit here and not say something. This is a guy who's meant so much to the organization over the years. He's given his heart and soul to the Red Sox.
Yeah,
the
Mark, past tense, though, right? Him. Yeah, but Mark, past tense, right? Past tense with Pedroia. What's he going to give?
It's not past tense yet, because I think whether the Red Sox should give him one more chance, two more chances, he's earned that.
Okay, here's but Mark.
Here's a guy that represents the best of what being a Red Sox player is, the best of what being a baseball player is.
Okay, and Mark, let me ask you a question. Hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. Who are you taking out of the lineup to put Pedroia back in?
Who would I pick out of lineup? Maybe
who would you take?
Chavis at first. So, depending on whether you got righty, lefty, you could always put Chavis at first when, you have a lefty on the mound and switch up and put Moreland at first. But you know what? Again, we need to put things in perspective, and the scope of work on from Chavis so far has been excellent. I want to see him do as well as anybody else. But we can't use words like useless when we're talking about Pedroia. He's been a class act. I think as Red Sox Nation, you as the platform that you have, we have to show a little bit more class and respect what he's done for the organization.
All right, I understand what you're saying, Mark, and I appreciate the call. 617-779-7937 is the number. This is why I say Pedroia is useless. He's useless to this team. There's no role that he can fill on this team that is worth bringing Pedroia up for. First of all, the guy can't prove he's healthy. He played, what, six games, and he can't stay healthy. He goes down to do a rehab assignment, and he can't stay healthy for that to the point where he couldn't even play on Saturday. Not to mention the fact that he hasn't been a good baseball player in like 3 years. So for this team, for this season, in the year 2019, the guy is useless. There's no point. And also the fact that you're talking about we need to honor or respect what Pedroia has done for the organization. Well, this is when Pedroia lost me. A couple of years ago, the Manny Machado incident. When you have a player on your team that's sticking up for you, whether or not you agree with it or not, because Manny Machado slid into you and injured you, and that's why you still have this knee injury right now. But when you have a pitcher that sticks up for you and beams the opposing batter, and you're in the dugout saying, it's not me, it's them, that's when I had an issue with Dustin Pedroia, okay? That's when I really had an issue with Dustin Pedroia. By the way, he may be the most overrated Red Sox that we've seen in recent history. Dustin Pedroia, you know he hasn't hit a home run in the postseason in more than a decade? In more than a decade. In 2013, go look at his numbers in the postseason. Go look at his postseason numbers. That was all about David Ortiz. Pedroia came up, and I get it. Everybody loved him because he was a dirt dog, if you will, right? And he was a great fielder for a while, but his MVP season, one of the weakest MVP seasons, quite frankly, that we've ever seen. The guy had a really good career. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I just think that we overrate him based on the personality. And for this team right now, I don't have any use for the guy, and I actually feel bad that the manager has to deal with this situation, because what is the manager going to do when he's told that Dustin Pedroia is healthy enough to play? Is he going to say, oh, I got this kid Chavis, who's got an OPS right now after tonight that's over 1,000, so we got to figure out a way to keep him in the lineup, but Moreland right now has the most home runs on the team. What do I do with Moreland? Do I put Chavis at first just so we can see if Dustin can play? And Dustin Pedroia doesn't deserve the right at this point to play multiple games in a row. He doesn't deserve that on this team. He just hasn't earned it. It's not like he was good last year. It's not like he was a key contributor last year. And now you're looking at it and saying, oh, we got to make sure we get Pedroia in the lineup. Just makes no sense. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Tim. He's in Drake. What's up, Tim?
And there's a ton of stuff I want to get to, but real quick, all right? So Mark from Connecticut or wherever he was from,
yep.
Has he learned nothing from the most successful sports franchise slash coach in history being Bill Belichick? You want to get rid of a player a year earlier than a year too late. I mean, have we learned nothing
right.
from seeing the success from Bill Belichick in the NFL? And I absolutely love Pedroia. And I would have to say that what he's worth is somewhere in between where you're putting him right now and where Mark is putting him right now. He's not necessarily useless, but he's not worth. I mean, maybe we could see if we can get a few more miles out of that tank, but he is on the 18th hole.
Well, Tim, and the problem is this with Pedroia is, look, you're already down in the division. I get it's earlier in the season, but you're 23-20. You know the Yankees are going to be there the whole season. And in all likelihood, based on what the Rays did last year and based on the way they're playing this year, they're going to be there for the majority of the season too. So you don't have time to do an experiment to see if Dustin Pedroia can play baseball again. You don't have the ability to do that considering that you're in the best division in baseball. You just can't do it right now.
All right, so that being said, and I have two more things I want to get to real quick. Would you consider, I've heard through in one way or another, would you consider Bumgarner for Chavis trade? I know I've heard that through one medium or another.
No, right, Bumgarner has not been good this year, and I wouldn't do it. I would not give up Chavis right now. Chavis, look at the way he's hitting the ball. I don't give up a position player for an older pitcher.
So that being said, Chavis is played in, I believe, I'm looking at the stats, 22 games.
Yeah.
He's had 81 at-bats. Are you ready to say that the league won't figure him out?
Maybe they will, but with Madison Bumgarner is now, what, 29 years old? He's going to turn 30.
Oh, no, I get it.
And he's not having a good season. He's got a 4.04 ERA right now. He has not pitched particularly well for the Giants. I understand that he's got the postseason resume, but he hasn't been that guy in a couple of years. And I don't want to get rid of Chavis, a young player that has come up and produced for you, especially considering at the back end of that lineup, you need production, and he can give it to you. He has more pop in this lineup than anybody else in terms of raw power. I mean, look, JD is a great power hitter. We know this. And Devers has hit well. Mookie Betts has hit well. He's the MVP of the league and all that. But this guy, in terms of raw power, Tim, he has the most raw power on the team. You see these home runs? He hit the ball 450 feet last night.
When he hits the ball, he hits it long. So, and one last thing I have to get to. You took the words right out of my mouth, and I hadn't even considered it until you started saying it. But Eovaldi out of the bullpen, perhaps a closer, is absolutely brilliant. That needs to be said. That needs to be passed along to Red Sox brass. I mean, I don't even see, with his injury history, that might be the only option we have, unless we want to see him on the DL or IR, whatever the hell it's called nowadays.
Yeah, injured list now, I know, it's confusing.
Every 60 days. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to keep listening. Thanks.
All right, anytime, Tim. Appreciate it. Yeah, it is so stupid. You can't say the DL anymore. It's got to be the IL.
I still call it the DL.
Yeah, I forget. I forget that it's the IL now. The injured list, I guess, if you will. But, yeah, that's the thing about Eovaldi. And maybe that's how you salvage this contract. And, look, he may come back and he may pitch well for a couple of weeks, and you may say maybe he's a starter. But his biggest role in this team may be the role that he had last year in the postseason, because clearly he was a weapon out of the bullpen. And I understand $17 million is a lot of money for a reliever. But as a starting pitcher, he has not been a great pitcher throughout his career. The guy had an ERA over 4. And you finally, and credit to you, credit to the Red Sox staff, they were able to get something out of Nathan Eovaldi that essentially nobody else in the history of Nathan Eovaldi's career was able to get out of Nathan Eovaldi. So the Red Sox deserve a ton of credit for that. But he had an ERA of 6 to begin this season. His biggest contribution to this team, maybe when you get to the postseason, him going back into the bullpen. Now, you look at it now, the guys you're going to go with, Sale and David Price, when you eventually do get to the postseason, my question is, who's going to be the third guy? Because Rodriguez, they didn't trust to fill that role last year. And Rick Porcello, he's been up and down for the majority of this season. We know he's subject to the long ball as well. All right, a lot more to get into. We can continue to chat about the Red Sox. What's wrong with Eduardo Rodriguez's start tonight? What did you make of the Red Sox coming back and actually winning this game? Or I should say, winning in extra innings over the Rockies. Plus, we'll get to the Celtics as well. Did the draft lottery actually help or hurt them? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI. All right, Brian Barrett with you for about the next hour and a half or so. Number 617-779-7937. Okay, if you want to hop on board, certainly welcome to do so with the Red Sox stuff. I'll get to the Celtics in just a little bit. What do you make of the draft lottery for the Celtics? Does it affect them in a negative or a positive way? Okay, and a lot of hot takes on the Celtics right now. But by the way, I wanted to get to this real quickly. I cannot believe that people were actually upset that Alex Cora didn't leave Chris Sale in the game last night. That was actually a thing today, that people were upset that Alex Cora didn't leave Chris Sale in the game today after he struck out 17. Okay, and he had just given up a home run to Nolan Arenado that was middle in that seventh inning. It was a 92-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle to Nolan Arenado that he hit out of the park. Okay, so I really question the people that don't understand why Alex Cora did this.
Chris Frail.
I understand that there is an opportunity to maybe witness history, right? You want to see him break the strikeout record, which is 20. A bunch of guys have done it. We know that Roger Clemens did it. Max Scherzer did it. Randy Johnson did it, right?
I'm just a kid from Brooklyn.
You would have liked to see Chris Sale get to that record, right? But you have to think about it with Alex Cora long term. He would have looked like a hypocrite if he sent him back out there, because he always talks about the fact that we have to be disciplined with him. We have to be disciplined with Chris Sale. It's the reason that they essentially babied Chris Sale along with the other starters heading into spring training. They babied Chris Sale because you have to make sure this guy's healthy down the stretch of the season. Because what we know about Chris Sale is what? He has been great the past couple of years, really since he's come up to the big leagues, April until August. That's been him. Chris Sale, great April to August. But you have to make sure that he's a contributor to your team down the stretch of the season, because what we saw last year and what we've seen the past 3 years in September is Chris Sale has not been great. And in the postseason last year, Chris Sale was not great. He was dealing with a shoulder injury. I understand that, but that's part of the point, is the guy has broken down the stretch of the season. Last year in September, 12 innings, 3.75 ERA. Postseason, he only gave you 15 and a third, 4.11 ERA. And do you believe that you're going to be able to get to where you want to be? And we've heard Alex Cora make mention of it multiple times. They want to be the first team since the Yankees to repeat as World Series champs. Do you really think you're going to go through a postseason again like you did a year ago without Chris Sale being a key contributor? I get he won that game against the Yankees, but other than that, what did Chris Sale contribute to this team last year in the postseason? The answer is close to nothing, okay? David Price carried him. And I still wonder if they give Chris Sale that contract if they don't win the World Series last year. It was almost like a feel-good thing, and we all know what was going on with the John Lester thing. You botched that contract, so you wanted to make good with Chris Sale. But Chris Sale hasn't even started his new contract extension yet. It's for 5 years, $145 million. You're not trotting this guy back out there for another 20 pitches, get him over 120 pitches on the day, and then later on in the season, you're paying for it. Because the whole thing here is you're trying in this window to make sure Chris Sale is healthy for the postseason. So I cannot believe that that actually turned into a thing today where people were upset that they didn't get to see Chris Sale make history, that they didn't get to see Chris Sale go for 20 strikeouts or go for 21 strikeouts. What are the odds he actually would have done it anyway? I get that he was striking out everybody last night. I get that he was on fire and whatnot, but he was starting to wear down the end of the game. That's why he gave up the home run to Nolan Arenado. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Ann. He's in Portland. What's up, Ann?
Yeah, Brian, thank you for taking my call. Your takes are great. You need to be on the air more than like Alex Reimer. I think everything you have is good stuff. I think we need more Rodriguez, more Witch than some of the other guys. I think he's going to provide more as a number two or maybe three option, especially going deep in the playoffs.
You have faith that he can deliver in the postseason? Because remember last year, they weren't willing to start him in games. They didn't have him out there. They weren't confident in Eduardo Rodriguez as a starter last year in the postseason. Quite frankly, I don't blame them for not being confident in the guy. He wasn't good in the postseason last year. And I look at his start tonight, Ian, it's disappointing. You have two good starts in a row if you're Eduardo Rodriguez, and then you come out tonight and you're spotted a 5-0 lead, and your manager shows some faith in you. He lets you go out there for the seventh inning. You got the 8-9 hitters coming up, both of which are lefties, and you give up two hits to them, and then you plunk the leadoff hitter. I just can't trust Eduardo Rodriguez at this particular point in his career.
You know, I look at it as like a Gordon Hayward type of thing. It takes like a little while to come back from like an injury.
But what's he coming back from? What injury is he coming back from?
I mean, he is like... I think it just takes a while to get back in the rhythm.
Yeah, but this has been him, Ian. That's my point. I appreciate the call. 617-779-7937 is the number. That's my point. This has been him his entire career. He's been a pretty good pitcher. He's been like an average-level pitcher. And when I look at him now, we're 5 years into this thing. Usually by your fifth year, we know what you are as a major league player. Now, some guys make massive leaps, like, for example, J.D. Martinez. He wasn't good until later on in his career. The Astros just got rid of the guy. They didn't think he could play. They got rid of him. He goes to the Tigers. He finds his stroke and whatnot. But with Eduardo Rodriguez, he has the stuff. He just can never consistently put it together. And you would think that a guy that's been in the big leagues for, what, 5 years now, that eventually he would be able to put it together, and he can't. He'll have starts where he goes out there, and you think he could be the best pitcher on the staff based on the stuff. And then the next start, like today, you go out there, you get a 5-0 lead, and you're having trouble with the 8 and the 9 hitters, right? You gave up 2 hits to the 8 hitter, 2 hits to the 9 hitter, and then you plunk the leadoff hitter. The manager tries to give you a feel-good story going into the end of the game, right? He says, all right, go out for the 7th. You can get out of there, and maybe it's a 5-2 game, right? Maybe you come out of that start, it's a 5-2 game, you go 7 innings, you feel good about yourself if you are Eduardo Rodriguez. And Alex Cora gave him that opportunity, and he failed the manager. And now I look at it from the manager's perspective. How much longer can you trust this guy going into 7th innings? Because you've had faith in him, you've shown faith in him, and he just continues to fail you. You give him a little bit of an opportunity, and he can't get it done. He just could not get it done tonight, and it's very disappointing because you would think by this point in his career that he would be able to do that. And I look at him long-term. When we talk about the aces of the staff, Chris Sale and David Price, I think he's closer to what Rick Porcello is than anything else. And I get Porcello won a Cy Young, but we all know that was just because of the wins. And Rick Porcello is not a Cy Young caliber pitcher. He just happened to win a Cy Young. But I see him more as long-term. He's going to be a guy that eats up innings for you. He's never going to be a dominant starter based on what we've seen throughout his career so far. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Ed. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, you talked about Pedroia earlier, and you were accurate of calling him useless. I like to take a step further, saying that he's irrelevant to the Sox based on the past few years. They haven't missed him at all.
Yeah.
And taking a step further, he's been a punk. He's not likable at all. I mean, look what he did. I know Bobby Valentine was a schmuck, but what he did to Bobby Valentine was very unprofessional. And then what, of course, he did to, you know, calling himself the captain of the team, and here I am, I'm the captain, asking the questions. He's not the captain. I mean, he's irrelevant, and like you said, he's used to the Sox. They don't need him. And Chavis, they better not get rid of him. He's a building block. My God, they better not get rid of that guy.
No, I don't see any way they would get rid of him, Ed. I mean, he just comes up to the major leagues, and he has 7 home runs. He's definitely been needed. This team needed a spark, and Chavis definitely supplied that spark to them. So I couldn't see any way that they would move Chavis. I don't even know who would be on the market that they would be looking to get rid of Chavis for. The guy's too good, and you think about it from the second base position. I mean, finally you get some pop in that spot in the order. And last year, remember, you had Brock Holt and you had Eduardo Nunez. You never had a consistent hitter there. And now I understand he's not the best defender in the world, but I'll take the pop, and especially considering he's hitting in the lower portion of the lineup. He just gives you so much depth.
Right. You really probably talked about Pedroia having, oh, got to have respect for him and all that. Listen, every player, no matter who, is going to go down, you know, in their waning years. And they're going to, like I said, not only be on the 18th hole, but they should have retired already. And, of course, he's under contract, so we're stuck with him, unfortunately. That's the only reason he's trying to recoup.
Yeah, you know what, Ed? It's a good point, and I appreciate the phone call. It's a good point.
No, you don't have
you
a leader
feel bad.
Standing right here.
You almost feel bad for Pedroia because he just doesn't realize it's over, and he just wants to keep trying to get back. And I understand he's still under contract and whatnot.
Hasn't nobody ever come back from that injury?
Well, he said he doesn't even know how to come back from it because he doesn't even know if it's his knee anymore. It's not his knee, essentially, is what he's saying.
90% of the game of baseball.
Yeah,
90% is mental.
Yeah, I just feel bad for the guy at this particular point because he thinks he can contribute to the team, and clearly he cannot. And now the team is stuck in this weird place where you have a guy that's been a consistent contributor to this organization, and he hasn't been for the past 3 years, but he still thinks he's the guy that he used to be, and you're trying to get him healthy, but the problem is he hasn't proven he can stay healthy, and you keep having him go on these rehab starts, or stints, I should say, and he ends up not being able to play consistently. I just don't know how you can trust him on a team that has huge goals, and those goals are to win another World Series, how you can trust him and say, we're going to play him for 5 games in a row when we have all these other key contributors to the team that we need in the lineup. You need Chavis in the lineup right now. You need Mitch Moreland in the lineup right now. So if you're going to put Pedroia at second base and you put Chavis at first, then you got to take Moreland out. There's just not enough room right now for Dustin Pedroia, and it's just going to become a distraction for this team. And Cora is now put in this position where at some point is he going to have to try out Dustin Pedroia? The way that I see it right now with Pedroia, I just don't believe he's ever going to stay healthy enough. So I don't think that we're actually going to have to cross that bridge, because I don't believe that Pedroia is going to show himself in the minor leagues that he's going to stay consistent enough in terms of his health. Let's get to Craig, who's in New Hampshire. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just wanted to call and talk about E-Rod tonight. Honestly, big left-hander. We need him. Price is on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, he's got him coming off his tail. You know, he's a big guy. And as far as this guy's talking about Pedroia useless, you know, Pedroia is he's a veteran, all right, that's going to, you know, crop these young guys, especially Chavis, who's, you know, coming right from the minor leagues. He's a big, big cropper, okay, that's going to literally lead this guy to success, just like Cora did, okay, who's the manager, all right? It's literally just like a, you know, it's from higher to lower, all right? And you've got to realize that, all right? And as far as I'm concerned, when Price is back, Price is going to step right into his role, right behind Sale, all right? And we're going to be right back there. You can't ever undermine a guy like freaking Pedroia, who's been an MVP, who's been a rookie of the year. Chavis is right there in his slot, ready to go. You know what I mean? You've got to realize, all right, they built from the ground up. This is, you know what I mean? This is the farm system that, you know, it started with Epstein, and it's fallen right with Dombrowski. All right. And you guys, you know what I mean? You never really, you know, call these guys out for saying, hey, you know, Pedroia is useless. No freaking way, dude. Are you kidding me? Pedroia is a freaking, he might as well be a coach, dude. You know
well,
I mean?
Okay, I'd rather him be a coach. Craig, I'd rather him be a coach and a player. I'd be fine with that if he was a coach.
God. Hey, me too, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. 617-779-7937 is the number. I'd be fine with him as a coach. If he wants to coach, go ahead. I mean, coach. But, I mean, playing, you can't waste a roster spot of the guy. And
on
I understand that
he's
on the IL right now. You can't really waste a roster spot of the guy because he can't contribute at the major league level right now. So if he wants to coach and pump up Chavis and whatnot, help him develop into a second baseman, I'd be cool with that. I'm fine with that. I just don't want him on the field.
On a side note, what's left of the farm system right now?
Well, yeah.
Chavis,
I mean,
is about the only thing that's left of what's in down
there. I mean, that's the point. There was a farm system. And look, Dave Dombrowski went for it. He gave up a bunch of stuff to get Craig Kimbrell. That worked out for you. You won a World Series. He gave up a bunch of stuff to get Chris Sale. Clearly, that worked out for you. The guy's been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. I get that he wasn't a big contributor to the postseason, but he's part of the reason you had the best record in Major League Baseball. One of the biggest reasons, right? So he had to gut the farm system to get some of these guys in here. And because of that, there's not much left. And if you're Dave Dombrowski, you were trying to win a World Series. That was the initiative. That was the goal that you were trying to get to. That's the goal you were trying to attain over the past couple of years. So you went out and you gutted the farm system. But right now, there's not much of a farm system left that he's referring to. There's not. I mean, there's nothing there. Some entities have them rated 30th in all of Major League Baseball. All right, a lot more to get into and continue to chat about the Red Sox. What do you make of Eduardo Rodriguez right now? What do you make of this team as they're just 3 games over .500? What do you expect from them against the Astros coming up this weekend? Also with the Celtics, what do you make of the draft lottery last night? Do you still think they should keep Kyrie, and should they go after Anthony Davis? Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI.
If I'm the Red Sox, I give Kimbrell a standing 1 year,
right,
$20 million off.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. Number 617-779-7937. All right, so next up for the Sox, they get tomorrow off. Then they have 3 with the Astros at home. Porcello's going to pitch game 1 against Cole. Then you have Velasquez on Saturday, and then you have Chris Sale on Sunday. And that's where I'm looking to see what Chris Sale is going to do in that game. Because Chris Sale has been great the past couple of starts. I cannot wait to see him against the Astros. By the way, you look at this game, it's a 1:05 start time for the Red Sox and the Astros on Sunday. What the hell is the Sunday night game? How is a rematch of the ALCS not the Sunday night game on ESPN? Whatever, I mean, I'm fine with watching the game at 1 o'clock, but I don't know how ESPN misses out on that. What do they have,
NBA.
Like? Oh, the NBA, that's why. Okay, well, that would make sense. What's the Sunday night game then?
Is it
like
no
Nationals?
Idea. I'm just saying the NBA screws up all the schedule.
Yeah, that's so. Probably why they do it, is because they figure, okay, we'll do it. They'll probably do it the following weekend or something along those lines, because they do play the Astros again coming up on the 24th, 25th, 26th. That'll be in Houston, though.
They have a tough finish to this month. They have the Astros, the Blue Jays, the Astros again, and then the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm interested to see how that series goes, because right now you look at Sale, who's been dominant the past couple of starts. Now, they will miss Verlander in this one in terms of they'll miss him on this trip. But the thing about the Astros right now, first in the American League or first in all of Major League Baseball on average, first in OPS, and they're second in home runs. So I really am looking forward to seeing Chris Sale against that group and seeing Rick Porcello, because Rick Porcello, his last start was not great. He got off to a rough start in that first inning, but then he was able to turn it around. So I want to see Porcello. And oh, by the way, he's going to have an extra day of rest as he gets ready for this one. I want to see Porcello, because in that first inning, he didn't know what was going on. He gave up four runs, and then he completely turned it around. So I want to see what Porcello can do against this really good Astros lineup as well. One other thing I wanted to mention about Pedroia real quick. The reason I say that guy's completely overrated, he hasn't hit a home run in the postseason since 08. You look at his postseason numbers career-wise, 233, an OPS of 687. His on-base percentage is 313. In his postseason career, the guy's hitting five home runs. Five home runs. The last one came in 2008. In that great 2013 season that David Ortiz carried the team into the World Series, Dustin Pedroia, that postseason, okay, 63 at-bats, he hit 238. Did not have a single home run in the whole postseason that year. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Jack, who's in Dudley. What's going on, Jack?
Yes, I just wanted to talk about the state of the team right now. I just wanted to opine a little bit. We were talking about some of the players. Now, I think that Dustin Pedroia, I think that maybe it is the end of the line as far as being a Red Soxer.
I don't think maybe. I think it is, Jack.
He was a good earner. That means he'd get up to bat. I remember Eric Gagne was pitching, and Dustin Pedroia kept fouling off pitches after pitches after pitches. People like he can foul off pitches and earn his way on and get the right pitch. Now, as far as home runs, or maybe he's missing the pitches, or maybe but his health it bothers. It's probably bothering him, and he's not doing it. Probably bothers him just as much as it bothers us. Because after all, these players, not just the Red Sox, but all your athletes, they earn, you know, literally millions of dollars.
All right, I appreciate the call, Jay. I have no idea where that one's going. I don't know. Pedroia is a tough at bat against Eric Gagne, and these players earn million of dollars. I have no idea where that was going. I have no idea the direction of that. And quite frankly, I don't have the patience for that at this particular point in time. And I'm done with the Pedroia situation. I mean, geez, you talk about how is this guy still a lightning rod in the city? I don't understand how everybody still has an opinion on Pedroia.
Like, he's been out of the picture for like 2 years.
Yeah, well, the reason he's still in the picture is the fact that they keep talking about him, and he's going to go on another rehab.
They need
stint.
A beat writer to get some extra hours.
We keep getting updates on Dustin Pedroia time after time with the Red Sox. Like, they keep making it seem like there is an opportunity for Dustin Pedroia to be back on this team and actually contribute. The reality is he can't contribute anymore. Like, just understand this. He cannot contribute anymore. He can't even stay on the field and play 3 days in a row in the minor leagues. The guy is not going to contribute to the major league roster. It's just not going to happen. It's over for Dustin Pedroia. And oh, by the way, who are you taking out of the lineup to get Dustin Pedroia back on the field for a feel-good story? When you're trying to hunt down the Yankees, you're trying to hunt down the Tampa Bay Rays, you want to get the highest possible seed in the postseason like you did a season ago. What would be the point of just putting him out there just to see if he could play? And first of all, even if he proves he's healthy, do we know that he'll actually deliver at a high level? Because we know Chavis is delivering rather at a high level right now. We know that Moreland's delivering at a high level right now. So who are you taking out of the lineup? There's just no room for Pedroia right now. All right, a lot more to get
Nunez.
Into.
They're coming back.
Yeah,
so, like, what are you going to do when they come back? That's two more spots you got to fill up again.
Yeah, I just don't know what you do with the guy. It's over. You just got to realize that it's over now. All right, a lot more to get into, including the Celtics. Draft lottery was last night. Was it a good or a bad thing for the Celtics? I'll get into that. Plus, what do you do with Kyrie Irving? And what about this Anthony Davis stuff? Ryan Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.